Welcome to Another Day Above Ground, a show for, by, and about baby boomers. It's the podcast for people who have no idea how to download a podcast. And now, here's your host, Dale Irvin.
Welcome, baby boomers, back to Another Day Above Ground. And this week is going to be special. We're not only going to be above ground, we're going to be aboard motorcycles, because this whole episode is going to be about motorcycling for baby boomers. And we got us a real expert. But before I introduce him, let me introduce my two partners in boomer humor. First one would be from the great state of Indiana, the Aristotle of comedy, Mr. Tim Slagle.
Everybody's talking about the Super Bowl halftime show. I understand that J-Lo was going to do the same performance at the Minnesota Super Bowl, but she was worried about sticking to the flagpole.
Oh, that's a beauty right there. That is a definite beauty. And the little thing left to you here comes from our other partner from Denver, Colorado, Carolyn Strauss.
And I have spent the last 12 hours trying to make my hips do what Shakira's hips and J-Lo's hips do. And I think it's physics. I think the problem is physics.
Something was going on with Shakira's belly button. Did you notice that? Is from time to time it would start to protrude. I mean, like, and really protrude. Disturbingly protrude.
Yeah, I actually just, every once in a while, I saw that burger she ate yesterday just kind of show up. It was amazing.
The best post I saw was some guy wrote, he said, "I just saw J-Lo's beaver. Does that mean we're going to have six more weeks of winter?"
What did you guys think of the halftime show?
I thought it was the worst halftime show I've ever seen. Bring back Prince. Bring back the Rolling Stones. Bring back anybody. It was awful.
I mean, it's a football game.
It might have been, not all of them yet, but it would have been a nice concert. It didn't rub me right in a football game.
I wasn't a huge fan of it. It won't go down as the worst halftime show ever, because the last year, I think, was Maroon 5. If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I mean, it could have been worse. My favorite halftime show will still be Katy Perry. I think that was the best halftime show ever.
Well, but then you got your Janet Jackson, nipple show, and that was if they'd only been a wardrobe malfunction yesterday, it would have gone down in history.
Do you need a wardrobe malfunction with those costumes?
Yeah, they kind of came pre-malfunctioned.
Pre-malfunctioned. Well, that's true. Yeah. But overall, yeah, I thought I didn't really appreciate it. But, I didn't really appreciate the game either. I was kind of rooting for the other team.
Oh, but what a fourth quarter. You got to admit, Kansas City had an amazing fourth quarter. And then, they got up by those 4 points, and then they went, let's not, at two and a half minutes left, they're like, I'm not taking any chances. And another touchdown. It was beautiful football.
That kid is only 24, too. He's like young enough to be Tom Brady's grandson.
He's young enough to be Shakira's son. Seriously, she's 43. If she had him at 19, he could be Shakira's kid. That's terrifying.
Or J-Lo's grandson.
The whole family's involved in the program. Yeah. Anyhow, I promise that we're going to talk about motorcycles, and we are going to do just that. Now, it happens to be my favorite hobby, but we didn't want to just listen to me, so we brought us in an expert. Coming to us from Denver, Colorado, it's Steve. No? Are you from Denver, Steve?
No.
You're on the air now. You can speak.
I'm out of Pensacola, Florida, sir.
Pensacola, Florida. I'm sorry. Is Steve Kelly, who is a retired lieutenant colonel in the Marines, and he's currently a motorcycle safety instructor, and he's a baby boomer. So it all fits together. Steve, thank you so much for joining us here on our show. What attracted you to motorcycles?
My midlife crisis. I was 35 years old in the Marine Corps, flying helicopters, putting my life into hands of machinery every day. And yeah, I thought making it to 70 might not happen. So it's time for that midlife crisis. So I took the safety course, thought I could do this, not a problem. And I said, honey, I need $1,800 for midlife crisis. I found it.
She is said, that how you calculate midlife? Wait a minute. You decide how long you think you're going to live and then you divide it by half. And that's when men have their midlife crisis. Is that how it works for all of you guys?
No, you decide how long you're going to live after you tell your wife you're going to spend $1,800 on a motorcycle.
Well, and God bless her, to her credit, she said, does it have blonde hair and boobs? I said, no. And she said, okay, you can have it.
I want to know where you got a motorcycle for $1,800.
It was a 1981 Goldwing Standard.
Ah, okay.
And this was in 97, so it was beyond its life. And the guy selling it found out that he was becoming a father and getting married all in the next week by direction. So,
yeah.
He needed some cash right now.
So technically, since you guys are both Harley guys, that it isn't a motorcycle, is it? Goldwing. That's a scooter.
No.
Well, it depends on which side you take. There are Harley, extremists who will not talk about anything other than a Harley Davidson. And then there's like the motorcycle group I belong to, Abate, which is it's the political arm of motorcycling, and we accept all motorcycles. We don't care. So I think it depends on the person. You know, I ride three wheels now. I get a lot of weird stares from people because they don't know whether to wave to me or hit me.
honk the horn and say, "Get off the road, Grandpa."
I'm sorry, Steve. What were you saying?
I was going to say that there is the Harley stigma, but you know, you get a full size Honda Goldwing, and that's still it's a 1.8 liter motor with six cylinders. So
it weighs half as much and runs just as well. You know, so
yeah. I said that my F6B is a Goldwing derivative, and in 4.5 years, I put 125,000 miles on her, and I've changed the tires and the oil and the turn signal switch because I use my turn signal switch.
But I can't get over that. I can't get over that old joke about why a Honda is like a fat girl.
Be careful.
Well, I guess we all know the joke then, so we can just leave it there.
We'll just keep going. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. The opinions on this program do not necessarily reflect the opinions of all of the hosts on this program. Tim.
Yeah, well, you know.
Moving on. Harleys are losing money.
Boomers, you know, a lot of us rode in the 70s or whatever, then we had families, we gave it up, now we want to get back into it. What should a baby boomer do first if they decide, yeah, I think I want to try and ride a motorcycle?
Well, you need to establish, are you physically capable of riding a motorcycle? Because riding a motorcycle does require some physical strength, because when you drop it, you have to pick it up.
And when you stop at a stoplight, you got to hold it up, you know?
Yeah, and the motorcycle too. And so
despite what everyone says, you will have to pick it up sometime. Every bike drops.
It's not if, it's when. So yeah, you have to be able to do that. You also have to be comfortable in that position for a long period of time. And
sitting up like that, you mean?
Yeah, sitting up straight, or if you're riding a crotch rocket, you're bent over in the forward push-up position, and
if the chopper, you're hanging from the monkey bars.
Yeah, and you're hanging up high, but if I'm leaning forward, and I'm like this, and there's something else I think I'd rather be doing than riding a motorcycle at that point.
Back to the fat girl joke, huh?
Yeah.
Now you folks need to watch this.
Or any girl.
The visuals are getting very...
All right, so now that we've moved beyond straddling, because that's easy for some of us, what else do we need to be able to do, Steve?
Well, you need to have monkey skills. You need to be able to actually coordinate a clutch with your left foot for shifting, and you need to be able to coordinate your right hand for throttling, and then your right hand for braking, and your right foot for braking.
So it's not an automatic? Motorcycles aren't automatics?
That would be a scooter. But there are some big ones. Some of the new Goldwings are automatic. They got six speeds or seven speeds, and they shift for you. But it's still, you're doing monkey skills with your right hand, and you're breaking with your right hand and your right foot. So you got some neurons that have to send messages. Hey, Mab, do some of that pilot stuff. You also have to be able to turn your head. And you'd be surprised how many people our age can't turn their head and look over their shoulder. Just can't get that whole 90-degree thing going on.
Really? I didn't know. Yeah.
Much less maintain it in a turn.
Yeah.
People who want to learn, they want to look where they're going. So they want to go look straight ahead instead of looking all the way to the right, picking where they're going to go, and then making the bike go there. They want to look right in front of them, and the bike goes into the turn. Then the bike comes out of the turn as they look back ahead. Then the bike goes back into the turn. Then the bike comes back out of the turn. And they wonder why they're ratcheting through turns. They're not being smooth because their eyes are deceiving them. So
you're
supposed
to look at where you want to go, not where you're at. You know,
correct.
Right?
Correct. Because you look down at the ground and the bike says, "Oh, there? Okay. I'm with you."
Kind of like the headlight on a Tucker.
Yes, exactly. You want to be like a headlight on a Tucker. That's perfect. And that'll just remove all the millennials from this conversation because they went, well, what's a Tucker?
Well, if they're here, they don't belong here anyway.
They're Googling headlights on a Tucker and expecting to see some naked woman.
So you have to be physically fit. The other thing that the baby boomers need to do, and historically we've been pretty good at it, and that is risk assessment and risk management. We need to look at it and go, okay, I don't have crumple bars. I don't have airbags. I don't have, 2 tons of steel around me. What do I have? I got this great T-shirt and I got some blue jeans. Okay, I'm going to get a jacket with some Kevlar. I'm going to get a helmet. I'm going to get some boots. But yeah, that's all you got is your PPE, your personal protective equipment. So we need to accept the risk, actually assess the risk going out there. I'm on the road now with every combat minivan driver out there who's got the volleyball team in the back, the soccer team, the football team. I got the semi-tractor trailer. The guy's watching his DVD of whatever as he's driving along the road. And I've got, every other person under the sun who's got their phone in their face and they're liking stuff on whatever they like, Facebook or Pinterest or whatever the current thing is this week. And you're out there on two wheels trying to avoid all them, and you have to manage that risk. So that's what we need to assess as a baby boomer.
How many women are taking your course? You teach for Harley-Davidson, right?
I teach for Harley. I also teach for the Navy. Okay. But overall, the big MSF numbers, I don't want to just say it's just Harley or just whatever, but women are becoming more and more front seaters. There's two main reasons for that. Number one, they're tired of being on the back seat. They want control of their destiny. Okay, fine, cool. The other thing is, and this is, I was going to get into this in a little bit, but we'll jump on it now. More baby boomers are starting on motorcycles now. We're seeing a lot of the mid-50s to mid-60s people. Hey, the kids are out of the house. I finally got some disposable income. I can, I may not be able to afford the $50,000 Harley CVO, but I can get a nice used bike for, 10 to 12 grand. And that might be a fun thing to do. What do you think, honey? Yeah, you go kill yourself. I'm good.
Make sure the life of the premium's paid up.
Yes. Make sure life insurance is paid up. Yes. So anyway, we're getting into this thing where we see these people that are getting on these bikes for the first time. They grew up watching Steve McQueen and Henry Fonda and all the rest of them, running in the Hell's Angels and. What was the name of the movie?
I don't think it was Henry Fonda either. It was Peter Fonda.
Peter Fonda.
Henry Fonda was on Golden Pond. Peter Fonda was on Gold Wing.
Okay. So and what you need to do as a baby boomer at this point is mesh those two together. You must become one with the motorcycle. But all these people grew up watching, California, the time cover. Have the T-shirt, something California. I can't remember the name. Good God. Anyway, doesn't matter.
At least your memory's still here.
Yeah, I'm happy about that. It's not Scott. Never mind. Okay. So we saw these people that were growing up do this, and they could never do it because they had a business. They had a family. They had all this other stuff. They had to be responsible adults. So now one of two things has driven them to motorcycles. They can be completely irresponsible now because they've just gone through a divorce, and we do call the motorcycle endorsement in many cases the divorce endorsement. The second thing is they've decided that they have no more, you know, real responsibility to somebody else besides themselves or their spouse, and they can go do this. So they're doing it. And some were on dirt a long time ago, and that's okay. But my favorite rider to teach is the one that's had absolutely no experience. Because the less they know, the better I look.
not to mention the less resistance you're going to get. If they've ridden before, they think they know it all.
True.
Here's
a good one. I was teaching in Philadelphia, and classroom of 24 people. And this guy, we're introducing ourselves. We're supposed to introduce the person next to us. This guy doesn't stand for that. He's roughly 50 years old. This was 10 years ago, so he qualifies. He stands up and he says, "I'm only here because the judge told me to be here."
Excuse me, AA is next door, sir.
I looked at him and I said, "Okay, we'll fix that for you." And he said, "I've been riding for 45 years and I'm not learning a thing."
Wow.
Okay. Thank you, sir. And Susie, who are you? Well, I'm, and so we went on. Well, at the end of the basic rider course, this guy gets up and he says, "I want to apologize to everybody." He said, "I was a. And he said, "I learned a lot in this class. My wife's going to come take this class now. And I'm going to recommend this class to everybody I know that does not have a license because this taught me a lot."
And apologies to the judge.
So what are for anybody that's going to ride.
What do you think the top three things he learned was? So for people who've been riding, who are listening to us, what are the top three things you think he didn't know that he knows now?
He knows now to turn his head going through a turn and keeping a turn. No, seriously.
No, it's just funny. It's just a callback. It's a comedy staple. It's always funny.
Oh, okay. Roger. He knows how to turn his head. He also learned how to swerve. And you guys talked about the Super Bowl earlier. I wanted to get just one thing in there. That was the first Super Bowl halftime show that needed subtitles.
Oh. Nice swerve. You learned.
Why am I in my American home watching American football and I'm being sung to some other way? But that's a whole different
Learn
story.
Learn Spanish, dude. Moving on.
Yes, moving on.
Learn English south of the border.
Okay, I left the MAGA hat in the bedroom. Don't make me go down. All right.
Well, I'm sorry, Steve. We're, that's enough time. We're out of time. Now. Wow.
Unfortunately, Carolyn's not in charge. So, so we'll continue. So,
he's ex-military and successful, Carolyn. What did you think?
I thought he had better taste in fashion than that. That's what I thought.
I'm wearing a Hartley shirt. What are you? Okay. So anyway, go ahead.
Sorry. I was just saying. So the basic things that you teach them, anybody can learn, even if they've been riding for years. And also, do you also teach the advanced riders class? I know here in Illinois they have a basic and an advanced class, and I learned a lot in that. Boy.
Did Linda go to that with you, Dale?
Yeah.
No, she's content to sit on the back, so she doesn't go to any classes.
They didn't let her sit on the back during the advanced rider course?
No, they didn't. Well, she wasn't with me, so I don't know.
Okay.
That's actually a good point you're bringing up. I understand that a lot of people think, well, if I'm just sitting on the back, I don't need to know anything. But it's my understanding that there's as much a skill as being a passenger on a bike almost as there is driving a bike. Am I wrong in that, Steve?
You are not wrong at all. You are correct. It's just like you just think about if you're riding a bicycle and you had a drunk person in the basket behind you. How much of a problem would that be for you to ride the bicycle?
You saw me going to the beer store on Super Bowl Sunday, didn't you?
I took Carolyn for a ride on my Can-Am in the back seat, and she learned how to scream when we hit 70.
It was also 100 degrees outside. It was the hottest. Not my thing, guys. Motorcycles are not my thing.
Now, you've got a couple of different advanced courses that can be taken. You've got the Basic Rider Course 2, and that because it says basic, that means no Harley guy will ever take it voluntarily. So we actually call it the experienced rider's course. Then we've got the advanced rider course, which is designed for sport bikes for the most part. And then there's the military sport bike course. There's also like track days you can go do. So there's always ways you can build upon your knowledge.
Well, and as you teach out there doing that too.
You teach people how to pop wheelies?
No, if you don't have the correct bike, the suspension doesn't like it.
Huh.
You can ruin your suspension by doing wheelies on a bike that's not engineered for it.
You can ruin your whole ass. I mean, I'm sorry, you dump it over.
Well, that's true, too.
I was just in Nassau, and I actually saw a guy, and he was just going down the street on one wheel, with a front wheel in there. Just did just no... no intention to ever put it down. It was like, wow, they should make motor unicycles for people who like that.
Well, in Florida, we got the big three, and that is if you're exceeding the speed limit by 40 miles per hour on a major interstate, if you're riding on less than two tires, and if you have a retractable license plate, those three will get you undivided immediate constabulary attention.
Wow.
Which is why James Bond never drove in Florida.
Yeah, that I didn't know that there were retractable license plates. That's kind of news.
Tim, think about it. Now, we're all getting all safety awareness here. We're not chasing people through the streets anymore. We're just getting their license plate, and then we'll find them later, right? That's the way we're doing car chases now in the law enforcement business. Mm-hmm. So what these guys do is they have a button on their hand grip, and they hit it, and a little thing flips up in the back, and it spring loads, and the license plate flips up and sucks up into the seat.
Wow. Is that like something you can buy on Amazon, or do you make it, do you fashion it yourself with a mouse trap and a string?
I'd be in the self-fashion mode at that point because, yeah, I don't see Amazon selling those.
All right, so let me ask you something. I was reading an article that said that Harley Davidson has lost 23% of its value since 2006. What is Harley doing to keep business going? Because there's the Harley mystique, right? So what are they doing? I mean, can't they expand into cars? Like, why are they not buying the Mini Cooper business and turning it into a Harley Cooper business?
Well, I guess you'd have to check. I mean, that wasn't in my stockholder report. I can't answer that question. What I can answer is Harley makes motorcycles. And, you know, they had some rough years, and they've had a little, you know, some lean years. My stock value does reflect your statement. What they're doing is in the last 2 years, they've introduced 12 new models designed for, you know, the younger generation. They're trying to get that mystique back. They're trying to get the younger generation to bite. To include not one, but two electric bikes.
Have they told the younger generation that they did this?
The younger generation, in as many words, is not really receptive to anything unless it's downsizing. The younger generations, especially those M people, they're just not in the mood. That they like public transportation. They like to walk. They like to bike. They like to eat vegetables. None of which you will find on a Harley Davidson owner's group ride.
Maybe Harley Davidson needs to come up with a line of PlayStation consoles.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, I mean that's one of the things is everything is a touchscreen now. And okay, you can't manipulate a clutch with a touchscreen. You can't manipulate a throttle with a touchscreen because you'd be sliding up and down. It's just not going to work right. So, yeah, until, what was it, for Men in Black, you know, what is a Game Boy? You know, didn't your mother ever give you a Game Boy? Yeah, until you get a Game Boy controller, I don't see them being incredibly happy with these.
But the millennials, they're shying away from motorcycles because they're incredibly difficult to get on with tight jeans, with skinny jeans. You know, or if you're wearing them down around your butt crack, then you got to pull them up to get on, and it's too much of a bother for them. You know.
And then if you got to bend over forward, then yeah, you wind up mooning the population.
It all comes back to fashion. I can relate now.
Okay. Yes, it's all a fashion statement. all the Harley gear and everything else. Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's They're like Harley is like Jimmy Buffett. You know, they put out a good product, but you put out all the swag that goes with it, and people will eat it up, boy. And they've done a real good job on there. Any new bikes that you've seen coming out that impress you?
The Harley CVO Road Glide. I like the lines on that. I like the way that looks. They finally integrated that shark fin front into the frame itself. And they finally did that, and that makes me happy to see.
What does that run, about 35, 40, something around there?
45, comfortably equipped.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not something you just go and go, oh, that's my new bike.
No. Yeah, exactly.
No.
Unless you're Justin Timberlake, in which case you would say it in the exact same fashion.
Yes, you would.
And if you had one piece of advice for baby boomers at riding a bike, my piece of advice would be don't overextend yourself. You're not as young as you were. You can't ride as far or as fast as you used to. Take it easy. What would your advice be?
Don't wait till tomorrow.
Because if you're on a bike, you might not live till tomorrow?
No, because another day above ground may not happen.
There you go. See how that all ties together so neatly? Very nice, yeah. If you have an urge to get a bike, go out and get a bike. But make sure you take the classes, because we encourage that in every group that I belong to. Please take the classes, learn how to ride it, and then you're welcome to join us out on the road.
Exactly.
Steve, thank you so very much. I appreciate you joining us this time. Is there any, would you like people to get in touch with you, or would you prefer they stay, arm's length?
Arm's length is good, but if you want to put my email address up on the site, if they have any specific questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
Sure. What is the email address?
H53driver@gmail.com. Miss Carolyn has it.
Oh, okay. H53driver@gmail.com. If you want to have any more questions for Steve Kelly, or you'd like to just get to know him better, and please don't send him any spam. Anyhow, that's it for this week. I think we have covered the topic of baby boomers riding. I almost went out yesterday. It was 50 degrees, but then I stayed in and watched the halftime show by mistake. So, Carolyn, what final words do you have to say?
I just appreciate Steve and his whole family. Can I mention?
Sure you can.
That our economist, Mary Kelly, who's been featured on our show many times, that is Steve's sister. So it's becoming a family affair here at Another Day Above Ground. So thanks, Steve. And especially thanks, Mary, for sharing your brother with us. And especially thanks to Steve's wife for sharing her husband, because apparently she doesn't like to do that. No, I'm kidding.
Wait a minute, Carolyn.
Holy cow.
This is really taking a bad turn.
You didn't even move your head 90 degrees before you made that left turn, Carolyn.
This is making a very bad swerve right here.
I meant to say that she's ex-military as well and blah, blah, blah. Oh, my God. This did not come out right. All right, you guys, watch the Oscars and tell me what you thought about it next week.
And Steve, you're now responsible for naming another family member to be our guest next week. So that we're just want to go through, pick out an interesting one. And Tim, what about you? Anything final to say?
Yeah, just check out my other podcast, Rule of Three, with Bent Washburn and Tim Slagle.
And also, we want you to visit our website, which is anotherdayaboveground.com. On there, you can leave us a note. You can give us anything that you want us to cover in the future, and we would love to do that. Other than that, DaleIrvin.com will get you the Friday Funnies, and we're also on Facebook. Please tell your friends, and if you're listening, this is my one request. Tell three other people today about the podcast, and by this time next week, we'll be up to six. So that's it. until next week, it's been another day above ground.
And that's it for another day above ground. For Dale, Tim, and Carolyn, I'm Farad Muhammad. Thanks for listening.